Hello everyone and welcome to today's lesson. So the lesson today will be about tools. So it's one of the most important decisions you'll make other than file provider and your initial training and making sure you're trained as such. One of the big things that you'll one of your biggest things that you'll make a decision on is who you will provide you the files, who will be your file writer, and what equipment will you use. Once those decisions are made, that will sort of set in stone how that business will progress, how your reviews will be, and so on from there. So in the world of remapping tools, there's lots of tools, lots of options, information on forums, you've got marketing material that's released. All these options can cloud your judgment and give you other people giving you advice, and their advice on a forum, for example, might be from their sole experience of one tool usage. So they might be saying, oh, this tool's the best tool ever, but it's the only tool that they've ever used. So it can't be counted as sound advice. It might be bias. So what this lesson is we've put together a list of tools so you can choose what's the best tool for you to start your career as an ECU remapping technician. So just as a sort of, just so you know, we don't make any money on our equipment sales. We do sell equipment. We don't make any money on that as such. We make our money indirectly. We make our money from the files that you do. So we don't make any money on the actual remapping tools. That's why our equipment's low cost. We actually make our money on writing the custom written files that we provide to you, that you go out and write onto customers' cars. So that has a few benefits. One of the benefits is our advice is non-biased. We don't make money on the tools. We sell all the tools. So any of the tools that's out there, if you want to buy any particular one, we're not going to steer you to the direction of the one we sell, because we do sell all of them. We have a direct benefit of your business doing well. So because we're not making, it's not a sort of a business where we sell you the tools and off you go and you're on your own now. We don't make money on the tools. On a lot of the tools, we actually make a loss. We make a loss on the tools. And that's why it's in our benefit as a company to make sure that you're doing well in business, to get you to the next level and assist you where we can to get you more sales. Because if you get more sales, then we get more files. So that's how we make our money, from you doing well and doing lots of remaps, and then we can get to write lots of files for you and make our money on that side of it. So all the tools on the markets, tools on the markets market themselves as the best tool in the world. So they'll all say this is the best tool that you can buy. Obviously that can't be true because they're all saying that. So this audio clip here will condense down your options and so you can make an informed decision of which tool suits you best in your business. So before we get to the sort of tool showdown, we'll see which one comes out on top as such, I first need to understand a few important subjects. So the first one we'll cover is, it's a question we get asked all the time, is writing your own files versus buying files in from a trusted supplier of files. So a lot of people have a misunderstanding of how remapping's performed, as a lot of the technicians that are currently going out are saying that they write their own files. 9 times out of 10, that isn't true. As you get into the industry, you'll realise how much it isn't true, and you'll realise that there's not actually that many map writers in the field. Every tuner, well, not every tuner, but most tuners are out there saying, oh, we all write our files, custom written files in-house and all that. And 9 times out of 10, like I said earlier, it's not true. Writing your own files, first of all, financially, if we cover that first, because the reason people want to write their own files 9 times out of 10 is to save money. The way to save money in remapping is to not write your own files. The cost of the software and the equipment required to write your own files unless you're very busy and you're doing lots and lots of remaps every day, only then would it become maybe financially viable that you could actually write your own files. So when you write your own files, you need a few softwares. I'll tell you what the softwares are. You can do your own research and you can see what these cost. But the first bit of software you'll need is something called ECM Titanium, the genuine version. These are clone version out there, but it barely covers any drivers. It won't hardly bring up all the maps that's available in that ECU, and you'll be offering sort of mediocre tunes because on one vehicle, ECM Titanium Genuine would bring up about 80 maps that you can adjust, and the clone one would probably bring up about 16. So it's got to be the genuine stuff, like for like. So first bit of software you need is ECM Titanium, around about £2,000. After that, you would need, all these at the same time. You'll need something called SwiftTech. So SwiftTech is the software that we use to do deletes. So we delete EGRs, DPFs, fault codes. All them deletions are done in a software called SwiftTech, which is around about £6,000. And then you've got Winnows, which is fairly cheap. It's around about £1,000. So when you weigh up all these softwares you've got to buy and the fact that you've got to update these each year, some of them are like £1,000 a year updates for each software. So you've got all them updates and your hardware, your actual remapping tool that you choose to use, you can't get the slave version, you've got to get the master version. If you've looked at tools, you might have seen these different options. We will cover the difference between slave and master. But basically, you would have to upgrade it to a master, and that might cost you an extra couple of grand for your KES on top of the cost of the KES slave. And then same with maybe KTAG as well, another couple of grand on top there. So you got an extra £4,000 in tools, around about £10,000 in softwares to write your own files. So you're talking 14 grand roughly of an investment to write your own files. If you choose a map writer that will write files for you, the files range from anywhere really, sort of £40 to £140 a file, depending where you go. We charge £50 a file. So you can sort of do the maths and work out. You'd have to do a lot of files to justify breaking even. So, and then you've got your annual updates every year. Your tools, for the master tools, updates cost more than they do for slaves. So you've got that up, that to weigh in as well. And the fact that you don't know anything about map writing potentially yet. We do a course on it. So if you do want to learn it, we can teach you. We can get you to the level where you're writing your own files. But the first thing to look at is if you're doing it for financial savings, if you're trying to save money, then doing it, doing the files yourself isn't really going to save you money. So, and the fact you've got quality of work, if you've just started, your files won't be as well written as someone that's been doing it for a long time. It comes with time, and that's what we'll do the course for, to teach you how to write files if that's a route you want to go down. But initially, I'd say 7 out of 10 students want to write their own files. Once they start seeing it, we'll cover a bit on the course that you'll be attending. We'll cover a bit about map writing so you can see what's involved. And once they see that, it drops down to probably 1 in 10. And once they actually do the maths, it's less than 1 in 10 that will actually go through to be a map writer. But if as your business gets busier, the chance of you needing to be a map writer will go up, because you're going to do more jobs later. So you can always upgrade your equipment. We do offer that option. If you start with slave equipment and later on you want to upgrade it to master, we do give you that option. Right, so if you want to know more about that, get your questions wrote down about that subject, about that part of this lesson, and we can cover that in your course. Next subject to cover is how to choose your file provider. So this is the most important choice you will make in the whole remapping career that you do, because when you write a file onto a customer's car, their review of that job isn't how well you read the file and sent it to your map writer, or how well you wrote the file back to the ECU. Their review is purely on how that car drives, and that is down to your file provider. If your file provider provides good files, then you're going to get good reviews. So really important things to look out for is sort of, first of all, working hours. If file provider doesn't work when you need to work, then you can't work. So that's quite important. But most important, more than anything, is support. So it's a level of support you're going to get from that map writer. You get a few different types of map writer. You get a tuner that is also a map writer. So someone that is an ECU remapping technician that is also a map writer. And then you get ones that are literally just map writers. They've never tuned a car. They've never plugged into an OBD and done a physical remap. They just, on the computer, know how to write the file. And that's what you get with bigger companies like file factories, where they're just churning out loads and loads of files. The attention to detail gets lost. The knowledge on how to get that file onto the car isn't there. And when you're stuck on a job, the support can't get you through. The best kind of option you can choose for a file provider is where the map writers are actual remapping technicians. They've been there, they've done it, they've been out on the road doing jobs that you're doing, hitting the problems that you're hitting, and is also a map writer. That's the best option. The reason for it is if you have a file factory that churning out loads of files and never been at a technician that's actually gone out and wrote files to the car, you'll find that you'll have an issue later down the line. You'll send a file off, you'll get a file back, the tuned file back from the map writer, and for whatever reason, the file won't go on the car. Or it bricks, which we'll cover in the course, and how to get around all that side of things in the course, but you might run into an issue. So you'll ring up the map writer and you'll say, this file won't go on the car. If they're just a map writer, all they can do is look at that file. If they dictate that that file is fine and there's nothing wrong with that file, then that's the end of the support, because they say, what do you want me to? I can't change that file. There's nothing wrong with that file. I don't know why it won't go on the car, but there's nothing I can change from this side to help you get that file on the car. If you compare that to a tuner, someone that's a remapper that's been out on the road doing these jobs day to day and is also a map writer, they'll know about that particular car and its particular issues that it may have and how to get around it. So this could, for instance, be on a Renault Megane Sport, if it's on one of those. The file won't go on, or it won't start after you've written it, if the coolant temperature is above 70 degrees. So if the coolant temperature is above 70 degrees, the car won't start, or it won't let the file go on. So that's known because we are map writers and ECU remappers as well. So we've got that experience from both sides of the field as such, to give you the support that you'll need from time to time in some awkward situations that may arise. So when we send the file back to you, the tune file, there's a little tuner's comments section, and we'll write any special notes in there about writing, getting that file on the car. So some cars you will need to plug in the driver's seatbelt, for instance, on BMWs after 2013. You have to plug in the driver's seatbelt, put the hazards on, and put the keys next to the gear stick. If you don't do that, it won't write. There could be nothing wrong with that file, but if the map writer doesn't know that information, then you're going to be stuck and they're going to be stuck, and no one knows what to do to get it going. So all that comes down to picking the right tuner, and you get tuning styles. So you get people that make aggressive maps. You get tuners that make nice smooth maps. So tuning is it can be done in different ways. There's different ways to get to the same goal as a remapped car. So you've got different experiences as well. You've got different map writers who have different experience. So it's like saying you could give yourself or me 100 words and ask me to make a short story. If you did that, I wouldn't be very good at that. I'm not a book writer, and I'm not going to make a great little short story, it's not going to be great. But if you gave that to J.K. Rowling, it would be a great story. Them 100 words, the same 100 words, would have been used in a much better way and put together really well to give a good result. So exactly the same for Matt Brighton. You can tune the car in this way or that way, but one way is going to be better than the other. One way is going to be safer than the other for the car and not damage parts and still get power. And another way will get power but maybe overtune or run temperatures too hot and break things. So you go from reviews. Personally, we're happy if you want is to give you company names of users. There might be a company in your area that uses. You can check out their reviews or our reviews, and you'll see that on our reviews anyway, we're 5-star, nothing but 5-star. And we've got lots of feedback, lots of happy customers that we can put you in contact with to do your checking as such. Right, so next thing, if you get any questions on that subject, write them down as well. Bring them with you on the course. Next subject we'll cover is if you should buy master or slave tools. So if you've done any research in tools, you'll see that there's this master-slave situation. Which one should you choose? Which is better? Which covers more cars? All that sort of questions we'll cover now. So they are essentially both the same tool. The master isn't better than the slave. The master doesn't cover more cars or doesn't get updates before the slave gets the updates. Essentially, they are exactly the same tool with a different sticker on the front. And the only other option is, the only other difference is, the master tool enables you to write files from any provider, any map writer. And the slave tool means wherever you buy your tool from, that's the person that will supply your files. So if you're writing your own files, you can't buy a slave tool. You have to buy a master tool so you can, the files are uncoded, you can write your own files and write that back through the tool. So that's the route, that's the reason you would buy a master if you want to write your own files. If you don't have a desire to write your own files, if you've done the maths and worked out it's not worth writing your own files, then you'd buy a slave tool. You buy a slave tool from a provider that you're happy with. Whoever you buy that tool from, they will be your map writer. So you can't buy a tool from one company and get your files from another. You have to buy your tool from whoever you want to get your files from. So yeah, that's the difference. People think because it's a master tool and you can write your own files, that means that tool enables you to write your own files. It doesn't. You still need to buy ECM that we covered earlier, SwiftTech to do all the deletes that we covered earlier, and Winulls to do the extra tuning in there that ECM can't do. You still have to buy all that stuff. Then you have to buy the master. The master costs more than the slave, and you've got all your softwares, and that's how you write your own files. So if you're happy getting a provider to provide you with files, then go with the slave tool option because it's much cheaper. And like I said earlier, we do offer that option to upgrade your tool from a slave to a master later down the line. If you get busier and you want to start writing your own files and you want to learn how to do it, we can teach you how to do it, upgrade your tool from a slave to a master, and you lose nothing. You pay the difference in cost between the slave and the master. So it's not like you've got one tool that's now in no use. You simply upgrade that and you pay basically what the master costs minus what you paid for the slave tool. So you're not losing anything anyway. So there's always that option in the future. Any questions about that one, bring that across with you as well. And next subject we'll cover is comparing the different types of programming. So you've got OBD programming, which is through the diagnostic port. You've got bench programming, which is where you have to take the ECU off. Boot programming, where you have to take the ECU off. BDM programming, which you have to take the ECU off. Service mode programming, which you have to take the ECU off. And chip tuning, which you have to take the ECU off. So all of these are covered in your course. So basically, there's your OBD, your bench, your boot, your BDM, and your service mode and chip tuning. There's six types of tuning that you can do. That covers all cars from when cars went from carbs to electronically controlled to 2020 and onwards. So All cars are covered by the six types of programming, and all six types will be covered in your course, so don't worry about that. Next thing we'll cover is clone tools versus genuine tools. So behind the question, can I write my own files, the next most commonly asked question, and that's why we're covering it in this pre-course information, is what's the big difference between clone tools, which are very, very cheap, and genuine tools, which are still very cheap, but compared to clone, seem expensive. What you got to do is you got to look at this as a business. And as a business, you've got to weigh up what is it going to cost you to perform in the industry. So I always use the same example, is if I wanted to sell flowers, for instance, or fruit and veg, say apples or pears or whatever else, I'm going to need a van to go to the wholesalers and pick up the fruit and veg. If it's meat or something, then it's a refrigerated van. The van itself is going to cost me a good few £1,000. As well as that, I need a shop to sell my fruit and veg from. And the profit margins in fruit and veg, if you're selling apples, it can't be much. I've not done the research, but if you're selling for a few apples for £1, you're making pence, or that's as maximum you can make. Compare that to a business like Remapping. You can use your current car. You don't need to buy another vehicle. You don't need a business premises to rent out or buy. You can run that by going to the customer directly and performing the remap on their driveway at the home or at work. So the actual investment in the whole business comes down to tools and training. So the actual investment is very cheap. So when it comes down to the investment required, it seems wrong to then cheapskate out and go for the clone tool when you could go for the genuine tool, especially when there's a massive difference in coverage between the two tools. They might look the same, they're two completely different things. The restrictions that you'll have with the clone tool will mean you'll understand more of the different types of programming when we cover the course, but you'll have to bench the ECU or take the ECU out and put it on the worktop and actually work on the bench. Where if you've got a genuine tool, pretty much most things are covered through the OBD port, through the service diagnostic port that you can plug into with the genuine tools. So the coverage list is massively different. How stable the tools are massively different. And the cost of what you're working on, engine ECUs, these aren't cheap things. So if you break it because you've used a clone tool, it's not wrote the file on correctly, it's not done the checksum correctly, you'll learn all about checksums in the course, which is one of the biggest problems with clone tools other than the coverage list, is a checksum that gets messed up. If that gets messed up, that car's not going to start. You've now got a customer that can't get home from work or get to work or drop the kids off. And that's because you've used a clone tool. The cost of a new ECU can be £1,000. So it's not worth taking the risks that come with clone tools and the restrictions that come with clone tools when you compare it to genuine. Sometimes people start with them because it's their way in. They can't invest much in the business. But to start a business, no one should be expecting to start a business for less than £3,000. And this business, you can. So there's no point in trying to start it on £300. There's good profits in the business. So you want to start right with the right tools. And a lot of people are using the clone tools, and that might be the case in your area. And if it is, then great. It's more of a reason to get a genuine, because while they're having to take ECUs out and charge more money, you can do it quickly and easily and safely through the OBD port because you've got the genuine tool. So you can clean up in the area if people are using clones. If people have got clones in the area, then you need a genuine, because you'll be better than them then, and you can take up a lot more work. And if people have got genuine tools in the area, then you need a genuine, because there's no point in starting in an industry with people competing with people that's already existing with worse tools than they've got and no feedback or credibility in the industry yet. So starting with genuine tools is 100% the way to go. lots of benefits to yourself. Overall, it's cheaper. You can take more jobs on, and the profit margin on the jobs that you'll take on will pay for the difference anyway. But again, any questions, bring that with you on the course. Next subject we'll cover, second to last before we get into the actual tools and which one you should choose, is the new genuine tools, because we've already established you want to go genuine over the clone option. If you choose to go down the clone option, that's fine, but just our advice is to go down the genuine route. So this one is genuine tools, new genuine tools versus secondhand genuine tools. So comparing the difference between, say for instance, said, right, I'm not going for the clone tool, I'll go for the genuine one, but let's have a look at some secondhand genuine tools. Let's see if we can save a bit of money by going secondhand and getting something that's used, still genuine, but used and maybe a bit cheaper. So a few key points to look out for with secondhand tools. First one is the updates. So tools have annual updates. When you buy a new tool, you get 12 months updates included for free. After that, once some updates run out, you can continue to use the tool as long as you want. It doesn't freeze, it doesn't lock off. You can continue to use it without paying updates. But any new cars that come out won't be added. So with remapping, your window of work is newer cars. Once they've been remapped, they don't need remapping ever again. So it's always the newer cars that you're doing. It's a forwards moving window. Comparing that to auto locksmithing, that window moves backwards and forwards. You might get someone that loses a key on an old car or a new car. In theory, a new car comes with two keys, so it's less likely to need a key. So it's more like your mid-range to older cars that you're working with in the key industry with auto locksmithing. But with ECU remapping, it is newer cars that you're working with. So because of that, you always want your tool to be up to date. You always want to pay for your updates. If you're buying a second-hand tool out of updates, that means obviously it's out of date. It can't cover the latest cars on the market. You have to pay for the updates. You have to pay for what it's missed. So the updates on a new tool, and like I said it earlier, come with 12 months. So you're covered for 12 months, absolutely fine. 12 months from after buying it, you're due your updates. And for most tools, that's around about £500. If you don't pay your updates immediately, you can still use the tool, but new cars won't be added. A month down the line, you choose to pay for your updates. You'll backdate 1 month and then get 11 months forward. So what that means is if you expire and leave it a month and then do your updates, you don't get 12 months, you get an 11, because it's going to backdate 1 month that you missed and go forwards 11 months. So there's no benefit to delaying your updates. It's always best to just keep paying them when, as soon as they're due. Next thing would be as a comparison on your second-hand tool, if that's out of date by 1 year, then that means you've got to pay £500 plus the cost of whatever you bought the tool for. With new tools being £1,500, if you buy that tool for £1,000 and it's out of updates, you might as well buy a new tool. A new tool comes with the 12 months and you get the files. You get some files included for free. There's 12 months warranty. So if you're paying £1,000 for a second-hand tool out of updates, it's not worth it. If that tool's 2 years out of date, which sometimes they are, sometimes people leave it and then decide that they're going to sell it, that tool might be 2 or 3 years out of updates. If it's 2 years out of date, then you've got 2 years worth of subscriptions is £1,000 plus what you paid for the tool. If it's 3 years, you've got 3 years, so £1,500 worth of updates plus whatever the cost of the tool is. So in that example there, if a tool is 3 years out of date, even if you got the tool for £1, it'll still be cheaper to buy a new one. So it's these things that you got to weigh up. When you look at tools on eBay, secondhand ones, you got to weigh up, are they in subs or are they out of subs, out of subscription? The other thing you got to weigh up is, because it's a slave tool, for instance, if it is, you're buying a slave tool off there, who's it linked to? What's their working hours? What's their reviews? How much are their files going to cost? Because you might get a file off eBay and you get a cheap tool that's in subscriptions, for instance, and then it turns out the file provider it's linked to is not very good, or they are okay, but the files are going to cost you £80 plus VAT or £100 plus VAT. Some people are selling files at £100, £120 plus VAT. So if that's the case, all the money you've saved, you're going to lose. The last thing to know about new genuine tools versus secondhand genuine tools is the bill carries with the tool. What that means is if you had a user with a remapping tool and they did some files and didn't pay their file writer, and then thought, oh, I'm not doing it, I'm not paying my bill, I'm going to sell the tool on eBay, you then buy that tool unknowing. It's in subscriptions, for instance, so you've got no subs to worry about, you've got a good deal. Then you ring up to your file provider to get files, you give them the serial number, and they say, no, sorry, that serial number has a £400 bill outstanding. That now becomes your bill. So you need to make sure of this before you get into the market of buying secondhand tools, because anything you've saved, you might then lose in some bill that's not been paid. That's the way the industry do it, because years ago you had people that would build up a bill and then sell the tool to their brother, and then build up a bill and then sell the tool to their cousin, and then build up a bill and sell it back to themselves. And the industry was losing out, so they changed how things happen. And now the bill follows the serial number of that tool. So definitely weigh up all these things when you're looking at secondhand equipment. Right, so now we're going to comparing which remapping tool on the market, which you should buy. Sort of the most, sort of what people want to get into, which one should I buy? They're eager to get equipment. And the reason we put this lesson together is so you can get all the information now. Do your own research if you want to, hear what we've got to say about the different tools, make a decision on what tool you want to potentially buy, and then when you come on the course, you can let us know and we can get that equipment to you, so you can take it away on the day and start your business straight away. If you want to obviously consume this information, come on the course, make a decision after, that's absolutely fine as well, but at least you've got this information to think over in the meantime. So there's no particular order to what we've picked out. We've just picked out the industry leading tools, so you have a complete understanding of what's there. We sell all the tools in these options below, and some of the others as well that's not made the list because they're not very good tools. We've just listed out the main ones that are good. So feel free to make a choice of which one suits you and your business best and let us know. So the first tool we'll get into is CMD. So that's Charlie Mike Delta CMD. In shortcut, we'll just cover the main benefits and disadvantages. It's good on Volkswagen Audi Group, but it has a bit of a limited coverage. It's expensive to buy. You have to update it. A lot of the functions of the tool doesn't work if you don't update it. There's not an option to sort of use it fully out of subs. It's old fashioned and it's design of the software, and it could do with an update, really. It's not a tool we would recommend, although it is a very common tool. The reason it's a very common tool, it's more of a second tool. It had its place in a certain time, with other tools that's come out in the market like AutoTuner, which we'll cover later, has taken up the benefits of what this tool held before. So people might own this tool and they might say this tool is very good, and that's because they brought it at the time they brought it. You coming into the industry now, when they brought that tool, AutoTuner, for example, which is another tool, didn't even exist. So you've got to get relevant information as of the time you're starting your career. So it's not really, we do sell it, but it's not really something we would recommend. Next tool is Genius. It is the cheapest tool probably on this list. It's a standalone EC remapping tool, or they call it a standalone EC remapping tool. They say this tool is a touchscreen device. You can Google images if you want to have a look at Genius remapping tool. They say it's standalone, you don't need a laptop. It's not true, because you can't. It has no email function. You have to connect the tool to the laptop to send the file off to your map writer. So basically, it's a tool that reads ECU and writes ECU, but you have to plug it into the laptop and move the file from the device, from the Genius, DimSport Genius, to the laptop to get that file sent off, get the file back, then move the file from your laptop to the Genius to then write that back to the car. It's OBD only. It doesn't do any bench stuff. And yeah, it's some people like it because it's a touchscreen device. Personally, I'd rather stick with something that's Windows-based. It's a bit more stable. So next tool we'll cover is KESV2, made by AlienTech. Again, OBD only. It has the biggest coverage list per pound. So if you're looking at your investment versus how many cars you can cover, KES would give you the best bang for buck. So it's as lowest cost overall, really. And it's the widest chosen tool across the whole world of the tuning industry due to its cost and its updates. So the fact that this has paid updates, around about £500 a year, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of users of using the AlienTech KES, it has a good ability to go bust, not to go bust. So if you're investing your money, your hard-earned money into a company that's providing you with a tool, you want to make sure that that company is stable and they've got plenty of money as such. And AlienTech is that. They've been going a long, long time. Lots of thousands and thousands of users, each of them paying £500 a year update. So they have the ability to crack new softwares as new ECUs and technologies come out and new securities come out for ECUs. They can pay technicians to find workarounds to get that ECU to read through the OBD port, so you can use KES as your remapping tool. It's the most recommended tool that we recommend. It's the one we sell the most of. And if you wanted to do your own research, say for instance you're in London, just ring some random company who does remapping in Scotland, for instance, and say, oh, look, I'm getting into the industry. I've been told KESV2 is the way to go. What tools do you have? They will have a KESV2. They might have other tools as well. They might say, yo, you can't do it all off one tool. Some people get defensive about people coming into the market and might have a bit of a rant at you that you can't do it all with one tool, and that's not what you're expecting. You're expecting to see which tool should you buy first to start your business, before you, as you grow, eventually you'll buy more tools as everyone else does. But yeah, you can do your own research. If you're in one part of the country, ring someone else, see what tool they use. Pretty much everyone will have a KESV2. Next tool we'll cover is AutoTuner. So this is a fairly new onto the market tool. It's been out a couple of years. It's proven itself to be stable, and as a company stable, and as a tool stable. Very, very, very good tool. One of my favourite tools because it's so fast. It reads ECUs really, really quick, a lot quicker than KES. The KES software can be a bit slow to load up. It's not really a problem you'll have as a beginner, because your diary is not going to be fully booked for 6-7 days a week constantly, and you'll have a bit more time. But as you get busier, saving a few minutes a day can make a big difference, and AutoTuner gives that. Where KES might take 20 minutes to read an ECU, AutoTuner could do the same ECU in 40 seconds. And then when you go to write the file back, KES might take 20 minutes to write the file back, where AutoTuner will do it in 40 seconds. So that's going to save you a lot of time on that one job. So it's good on newer cars. I wouldn't compare it to KES. It's not really a tool you can start with because it doesn't cover enough cars. It covers a lot of cars, but mainly newer cars. It covers the things that KES doesn't cover. So you could start with a KES, maybe move into AutoTuner later on. But yeah, the problem with AutoTuner, it doesn't cover older cars. Some of the other benefits of AutoTuner, it does OBD programming, and it does all the bench programming as well. So it's like a two-in-one tool. Another benefit of AutoTuner is you can tune DSG gearboxes, BMW gearboxes, and the engine ECU. So it's not just doing engine ECU remaps, it can do like DSG remaps. You can do DSG remaps on KES, but you're required to buy a separate cable for each DSG gearbox. Each cable is about £105. There's about five cables to buy, so you're looking at 500 odd quid in cables to do DSG. On AutoTuner, it does all the DSGs it covers through the OBD port without having to buy additional cables, so that saves you money. It does software updates, the AutoTuner, so you can return things back to stock. You can do emissions recall backdates or updates to return the vehicle back to stock or to older software before the recall, if that's what the customer wants. That's completely free. It does data logging, which we'll cover more in the course, which is very handy. And it does free updates for life. So that's one of the big benefits of AutoTuner. There's no £500 a year. It's just free. Free for life. You continue to get updates without paying a penny after you've brought the tool. So eventually it just pays for itself in not having to pay for updates, but it'll pay for itself before then in the extra cars that you can cover over pretty much any other tool on this list. But I would say, just because there's so many benefits of AutoTuner and not many disadvantages, people make the mistake of thinking they can buy this as their first tool. This is a second tool, is a second tool option. It's not your main tool. Your main tool would be something like KES, and AutoTuner would be something you move into, because KES has a much, much bigger coverage list. Next tool we'll cover is KTAG. So this is also made by Alien Tech, KTAG. It's Bench, a bench programming tool. It doesn't do anything OBD, so it covers all the bench options like boot, BDM, service mode, tricorder programming. If you don't know what any of that is, that's absolutely fine. We cover all that in the course anyway. So just to let you know as well, you're not expected to know what any of this information is. If you're getting confused by what's data logging, what's FRF software updates, what's BDM, boot, service mode, all that stuff, all that's covered in the course. So don't worry about any of that. Your decision, if you haven't made it by the end of this lesson, after a bit of thought of which tool you want, will become a lot more clearer once you do the course and you understand the ins and outs of the benefit of service mode over BDM or boot, for example. All that will become a lot more clearer. The last tool we'll cover is a tool, a very old tool called GQ4X. So that's G for golf, Q for queen, number four, and the letter X for X-ray. So GQ4X is a chip tuning tool. So it's for older cars before 2001. So all the information about chip tuning is covered in your course again. We're not get too far into it. It's a really low price tool. It's around about £80. So, but it covers cars before 2001. The chance of doing one of these cars over 20 years old, it's not going to really be an option every day. You might never get asked to do one. All the types of cars that would need to be remapped would have already been remapped by the time you come up to them 20 years later. So the chances are very slim. Where that programmer comes in is if you're doing some rally cars or some track cars or grass track racing cars that are older and need a bit of power, or like hill climb, like Land Rovers sort of thing for going up off-roading, they might want some extra power and oomph, so they might want a remapped on. So that's where that GQ4X would come in. What I'll do, I'll just go backwards now and just cover prices. Now you understand a bit about the tools. So starting with GQ4X, the chip tuning tool, it's around about £80. The KTAG, the bench tool, made by Alien Tech, about £1,500. Auto Tuner is around about £2,500. But remember, that is a two-in-one tool. That's an OBD tool and a bench tool. Free updates for life, lots of benefits, data logging and everything else. It is more expensive, but overall, you're getting a lot for the money. Genuine KES V2, made by Alien Tech, again, is around £1,500. A few benefits on that as well. I think most of the time we're giving away some free files with that, 12 months updates, the carry case, or the load of cables and all sorts of bits. So you get, and that's why that's the most commonly sold tool that we sell. And then the Genius is around about £1,400, so about £100 cheaper than the Kez, but in our opinion, not as good. CMD is pretty expensive. It's around about £2,500. And the coverage just isn't there. The reason people brought CMD originally a few years back is because auto tuner didn't exist. Now, if someone's faced with audio in a Kez and thinking, what's my next option? Should I go CMD, Genius, auto tuner, K-Tag? Pretty much everyone's picking auto tuner. Everyone's picking auto tuner as their main tool. Main secondary tools as such. So the last bit of the course that we'll cover is just sort of recapping on everything. The ideal starter pack for most people, when I say most people, that means if you're covering a particular maker model, which you can cover on the course, you can let us know. We go around, when we start the course, we go around, do introductions and ask what you're doing, what your plan is for remapping, what industry you want to work in. Do you want to do all cars? Most people want to do all cars. Or do you want to specialize in, for instance, Fiats and Vauxhall, Fiats and Citroens and Peugeots, or Vauxhalls and Saabs, or Volkswagen Audi Group or BMW? That will drive a bit of a turn in direction to which tool you choose to use. So if you're doing BMW only, then we'll speak to you on the course and we might have a better tool for you. But if someone's wanting to cover all makes and models, then Kez V2 would be the best route to go. So if you're wanting only to do OBD remapping, again, Kez V2 only does OBD, it doesn't do any bench, so that would 100% be the best choice to go for. It covers around about 90% of remappable cars, and it's the most used tool in the world of remapping. There's not a one tool does all, no matter what money you're spending. If you wanted to spend 30 grand on one tool, there isn't a tool that does everything. You will end up buying one tool like a Kez and then moving on to something else. So throughout your career, you'll end up buying a couple of tools to get the job done and to compete in the market. So, but our advice as a recap is to start with Kez, and later down the line, if you find that you need to, possibly move into maybe auto tuner and K-Tag. So feel free to review this course, play it a few times. It's a good, 50 minutes worth of content here. So there's a lot to cover. Take any notes, look at our other lessons for pre-course information. And then by the time you come on the course, you'll be well informed. And there's also post-course learning as well. So because you've purchased the course, you've got access to this pre-course information, but you've also got access to the post-course information. So after your course, you'll be enrolled on the post-course information, and that will just basically be ongoing support. So support as things changes in the industry, as new things come out and new technologies change, all the education that you'll need will be provided for free through the post-course learning. So as a new lesson's added, you'll get an email to say a new lesson's been added. Just simply log in, consume that information. That will keep you up to date, making sure you can compete over your competitors because you've got the latest information, and that's good for you and good for us because you'll be doing more files. So that's how it works. So yeah, write any questions down, anything you want to know, bring that with you on the course, and we'll be happy to go through it. Thanks for listening.